From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. The new British Prime Minister, David Cameron, says in his first news conference that he'll work for the common good even as he comes to power following an election that produced no clear winner.
This is the first coalition government in Britain for 65 years. It will be an administration united behind three key principles: freedom, fairness, and responsibility.
Cameron says his administration will be united behind what he calls the key purpose to give Britain strong, stable, and determined leadership for the long term. Cameron heads the Conservative Party, which formed an alliance with the much smaller and politically different Liberal Democrats. The British Labour Party, dominant since a landslide win over Conservatives led by Margaret Thatcher in 1997, is now out of power. President Obama meets today with President Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports from the White House on the two leaders' efforts to improve relations.
The Obama administration used to take a tough public approach with Afghanistan, calling out President Hamid Karzai for corruption in his government. Karzai did not respond well to that approach. He made pointed anti-Western comments. The tone of this week's visit has been very different. Ambassador Carl Eikenberry spoke with reporters at a White House briefing.
Every bilateral relationship, especially ones as close as we have with Afghanistan, they experience ups and downs. But what measures true partnership is the ability, when the stakes are as high as they are for Afghanistan and the United States of America, to be able to work our way through difficulties and come back together.
Today, President Obama will have lunch with Karzai, followed by a joint news conference. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, The White House.
2 days after President Obama nominated her for a seat on the Supreme Court, Solicitor General Elena Kagan begins the task today of trying to win over senators who will vote on her confirmation. NPR's David Welna says Kagan is well acquainted with making these courtesy calls, since she did the same thing just 15 months ago when she was up for confirmation as Solicitor General.
She begins such visits today, meeting with Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. She'll also call on two other Democrats, but it's the meeting she's scheduled with two Republicans that will be watched most closely. Kagan will see Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell, who declared Monday that Americans don't want someone who'll be a rubber stamp for any administration. She'll also see the top Republican on the Judiciary panel, Alabama's Jeff Sessions. He's questioned whether Kagan has enough experience, since she's never been a judge. David Wallen, NPR News, The Capitol.
Stocks are up in early trading as the Commerce Department reports the U.S. trade deficit rose to a 15-month high, but that sales are also up and exports were up sharply. The Dow Jones Industrials at last check up 55 points at 10,804, the Nasdaq up 16. This is NPR News. More than 100 people may be dead after a passenger jet crashed in Libya this morning. The flight was flying from Johannesburg, South Africa. As Anita Elash reports, the cause of the crash is still a mystery.
The airliner run by Libya's Africa Airlines crashed as it was landing at Tripoli's international airport with 104 people on board. Libya's transport minister said 96 bodies have been recovered from the crash site and that rescue workers are still looking for more. The only known survivor is a 10-year-old Dutch boy, but his condition is unknown. There is no word on what might have caused the crash. The weather was clear and visibility was good, and the airplane, an Airbus A330, was only a couple of years old. An early report says the plane exploded as it prepared to land, but the transport minister said there is no reason to believe that this was an act of terrorism. For NPR News, I'm Anita Elash.
The death toll is now 9 in the latest school attack in China. A man reportedly entered a school and hacked a number of students and teachers to death. West Virginia Democratic Congressman Alan Mollahan is out after 28 years. State Senator Mike Oliverio beat Mollahan in a primary with some 56% of the vote after 71% of precincts were counted. Mollahan's been the focus of some ethics and fundraising investigations, although he has never been accused of wrongdoing. Oliverio called him corrupt and disconnected. Conservatives and anti-abortion groups dogged Mollahan over his vote for health care overhaul legislation. And a special nonpartisan election for a North Georgia congressional seat will go into a June 8th runoff with no candidate having a majority yesterday. I'm Paul Brown in Washington.